Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Well, here's a question for you. How can we become more aware of our bodies and how they're wired? Do you think it's possible? Are there warning signs, little things that maybe your body's telling you time for a course reset? Well, I have a fantastic guest in studio with me who can shed some light on the integration of our faith and our physical health. We have started a monthly feature with our new favorite person in the world, Dr. Troy. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And every time we've had him on, we've not been able to get to all the questions. So I just actually handed him three pages of questions from past listeners. But I feel like one of these days... No, I don't think so. I was going to say, one of these days we'll get through them. But I like it. We will love the questions. So if you've got a question about a sleep disorder, chronic health issue, I've not yet heard Dr. Troy stumped. Maybe this is today, but I'm not that I'm hoping for it. We're going to get him on in just a moment. Got a couple of quick announcements for you. First, our fourth annual Faith Radio Writers Contest is in full swing. If you have a dream and a desire to be published, this might be your first big step. We are taking submissions till Sunday, so a few more days. The information's on our website at myfaithradio.com. The theme this year is redemption. You can write on the fiction or nonfiction track. The top handful of vote getters gets to come to the station, have a luncheon in the green room with our Faith Radio staff, and then you get face-to-face meetings with editors from Bethany House Publishers. So if you've got a good pitch and if you can write, this very well can be your next step to getting published. So don't let fear stand in your way, okay? Also, we are partnering with the National Association of Evangelicals in hopes to see 1 million Christians praying on Sunday, July 10th, asking God to bring revival back to this nation. If you'd like more information to sign up your life group or your church, you can go to their website, nae.net. And finally, a big shout out to our listeners listening in from Madison, Wisconsin, who listen on Faith 1190. Well, guess what? We now have an FM translator in your area, so you can hear us loud and clear 24/7. Check that out at 104.7 FM. Okay, here's my question before I get Dr. Troy on. If you were to take inventory of your life, emotionally, physically, spiritually, chemically, where would you say you're most healthy? And where do you sense maybe you're a little out of whack? What would you say needs the most work? Just think about that. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurrell is CEO and founder of Synapse, a center for health and healing. He travels extensively, conducting seminars in disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company is located in Eagan, Minnesota, and I already know that we've got listeners. He doesn't like to tell me about the patients, but I just heard that there are listeners from outside, I mean, in our network, but even outside our network, who've made the trek into Minnesota to see Dr. Troy. And we'll have his business link up on our show page today. And Dr. Troy, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
So good to have you. So we love to start our conversations talking scripture. You chose James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all who without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. Talk about that passage.
Well, that means a lot to me because early in my career, I just wanted knowledge and knowledge and knowledge. And I did get multiple degrees and multiple degrees. And I kind of jokingly say this now, had I known Christ back then, I just would have went to Christ right away yeah. First. And the reality is that God uses people and in many ways. And so I get stuck a lot. I mean, I will get stumped. I should get stumped, mm-hmm. but God won't ever get stumped. Mm. And it's so funny how it works, where when I get stuck with my kids, I always say the same thing. When you get stuck, ask God a better question.
That's
and
good.
Just keep asking God. And how he answers is so amazing. That's part of the game. I can't wait to see how he's going to answer my questions for me, because it could be in the form of a memory of some class I took. It could be from my classical training. It could be from asking one of my other docs. Sometimes it's by another patient that's laying on the table just sharing a story out of the blue that ends up solving one of my other patient's problems that I've been looking for. And so I never know where it's going to come. Mm-hmm. Occasionally it comes right after prayer itself. And sometimes they're still on the list of questions waiting to be answered that when God's time is right, they'll be answered. But I 100% believe there's an answer to every problem. God's got it. And so we just need to stop and ask God a really good question.
That is so good. You know, a couple of years ago, I was having a flare-up of the TMJ, which the whole side of my head, you know, feels like your head's in a vice. And I was asking God, you know, what have I done wrong? Is there something I'm missing? You know, and in passing, a colleague at work at the station here, like a week later, was walking through some TMJ issues. I hadn't mentioned anything about my stuff, but she said, I finally have to just accept I can't eat almonds anymore because they're so hard on my jaw. And all of a sudden, I'm like, in my speaker basket a week and a half ago, almonds galore. And yeah. I chopped on those babies the whole way home. And I'm like, what spazzed out my head so bad? But it was the silliest little thing. But it was a light bulb moment. I thought, oh, my goodness. And it really was the answer. So funny how that works.
Yeah, it's really, really funny. And mm-hmm. I chose that one because I want to encourage people to go to God first. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be surprised what gets laid out in front of you. And there's some research where they questioned a lot of people, these are Christians, non-Christians, and they said, where do you go to when you get sick for your advice and guidance? And the majority of them went to their medical doctor, and then on the news and talk shows and then magazines. And God didn't even didn't crack the top 10. And to me, that's a shame, because I know that if you go to God first, just everything gets sped up. Mm. It really does.
It's amazing.
And you can get on path first. And it just, yeah, it's really the way to do it.
Indeed. So we've talked about the health triad, and I want to just have you just explain that again, just for context of where we're going in this conversation. Talk about this health triad. I hope I'm saying it right.
Yes.
I mean, I get it wrong like every time, but did I get it right?
Oh, yeah,
time?
You did.
All right. Talk about that.
Well, the triad of health is really the three areas of our physical being that make us up. There's the mental side, the physical side, and the chemical side. Chemical includes our hormones, our nutrition, what we eat, our foods, our vitamins and minerals that we carry, and also the brain chemistry, all the different molecules in our body. And the physical is our muscles and our joints. Not only are they there, are they working and pulling equally from front to back, side to side, and around the joint. And then our mental includes our brain and our nerves, but it's really our form of communication through the mental. Is it how are we doing with stress? Is our brain communicating with our body properly? There can be imbalances even between the left side and the right side. We know that people are left brain dominant, but we didn't know that there might be physical consequences to that left brain dominancy. And so it's important to know what those three areas are doing. And people who are in a good state of health are balanced mentally, chemically, and physically. And then there's the whole thing that just kind of backs up that whole physical being is our spiritual health. And that those four things is what makes us healthy or not.
Amazing. Last time you were on, you said with fibromyalgia, it's always a combination of the three. That's a very common disorder. We're hearing more and more about it. What is fibromyalgia? And talk about these three components and how they're affected.
Well, fibromyalgia is basically the medical definition. There are points on 11 of 18 different areas of your body. If you put pressure there and you have pain, a lot of people get kind of thrown into that basket as far as just waking up with pain. There's always aches and pains in their muscles at the insertion. And so that diagnosis is just skyrocketing. And you may have the physical findings that do definitively say fibromyalgia, or you may be close. It doesn't really matter. Every single person that's come in with that diagnosis really has had all three areas compromised as far as their mental, chemical, and physical. And many, many times, every time so far, actually, they've got a sleep disorder that's associated with it that they don't know about. And that makes them more sensitive emotionally, if you will. And you know, if you're ever down and you're kind of down in life a little bit, then you tend to take more on. It's a strange thing, but when we're down like that, we're not actually our best mentally, and things don't slide off of us. And so if you get a sleep disorder or we sleep deprive anyone, you're going to start feeling the mental weight of that. But also when we sleep, that is when God restores us physically. So every night our immune system goes out and starts to clean up the mess from the day. And so when we don't have that, we have all these acids and chemicals that never got cleared out properly that are just sitting there. And yes, some of them are affecting the nerve endings, and they make medications to block that sensation of the nerve endings that comes with all kinds of other side effects. But the reality is we got to fix the sleep disorder and then clean up all the consequences of the mental and physical scenarios that occurred during that time period.
So healing happens when we sleep. I know you and I have talked
every
about
night.
That a lot, and you're working on a book on that very issue. But the most common disorder we hear is sleep apnea. But you said there's a host of other issues. So if someone's looking for sleep apnea and then no, you don't have it, but the person still isn't sleeping, there's more to the story here.
Yeah, much, much more. Sleep apnea is one of dozens of sleep disorders, and REM sleep disorders exist, but they don't really diagnose them clinically or in a sleep study all that often. You can tell if they say you don't have sleep apnea, but you have a lot of what's called arousals, where they measure these arousals at nighttime, then that could indicate a possible sleep disorder still. If you wake up feeling fatigued, I'm going to tell you, you probably have some level of sleep dysfunction. You should wake up feeling restored, rested. And if you can't remember the last time that happened, that means there's a problem going on. And we tend to get into these fight or flight states in our brain because of our lifestyle. And that part of the brain, you can only be in fight or flight or rest and digest. So generally speaking, if you have fatigue when you wake up and digestive symptoms, you probably have a sleep disorder because you're not getting that repair at nighttime.
Did you hear that? If you have fatigue and digestive issues, you may have a sleep disorder. We're going to pause here and take a quick break, but now the phone lines are open. You've got a question for Dr. Troy. Kathy wrote in, or either called in or wrote in last time, I have an AFib and it's been getting worse, thinking of having an ablation. Thoughts? I think we'll have Dr. Troy answer that one. And your questions as well, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a moment. Glad you tuned in today, because you know what? God wants our health to prosper. He really does. And there are things we can do, course adjustments we can make that we don't even realize. And sometimes the smallest adjustments can make a very big difference. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Have our good friend Dr. Troy in studio. We have him on once a month for health and healing with Dr. Troy. And I'm telling you what, he's a wealth of wisdom. God's really, really given him wisdom, and he's educated himself as well. So the combination, he's here really to help us make the necessary changes so that we can really realize optimum health. You got a question? You can even call anonymously if you need to. 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. So Norma checking in from Stillwater. Hey, Norma, how are you today?
Hi, thank you, Susie, for taking my call,
mm-hmm.
And thank you, Dr. Troy. My question is, I'm in menopause, and I have the night sweats and everything that is to be expected, but in addition, it seems like an exorbitant amount of itching everywhere, and it's not just a little here and there. I mean, it's just a lot. So I'm wondering, is there a mineral or a vitamin that a person could be short on to cause that?
Thanks, Norma.
So there are a couple scenarios here. So generally speaking, with itching that has come on since menopause, there's a couple scenarios. So number one, whenever we get a change with our estrogen levels, because that's what starts to drop off, your ovaries stop producing them and your adrenal glands have to start producing it. So they can get a little overworked, if you will. the adrenal glands release other hormones, including things like adrenaline, cortisol. So we tend to, it's a lot harder. I say we, women who go through menopause. I have not gone through menopause yet. But women who go through menopause, it's a little harder to lose the weight because you're of the hormone shift, and your adrenal glands are releasing cortisol. Part of that is also something called antidiuretic hormone. It deals with water levels, and one of the things that a lot of women don't realize is they stop drinking water very, very, quite a bit because they're just not thirsty, because that other hormone is not there. And when you stop drinking the water, then all of a sudden you don't clear out your lymph system. And the lymph system is our detoxification system. If it doesn't come out through the liver, it'll come out through the skin. So that's the most common scenario, is that we start to see the itching occur. So if you notice, just check in to see how much water you've actually been drinking. And if you've not been drinking a heck of a lot, then you want to increase your water consumption, and we want you sweating, and that'll help a lot with the itching. That's the first thing to check out. The second thing is, we could be dealing with a confused immune system because of the change in the hormones and the hot flashes. The hot flashes tell us basically the liver's overwhelmed right now with the changes, and that's why the hot flashes occur. So we definitely think the water thing is there, unless you've been consuming plenty of water. But you have to support the water. So the things off the top of my head are basically things a lot like milk thistle that'll help metabolize and help the liver work better. But also vitamin D and fish oil. Those are the two that help the lymph to decrease the itching. You may have to really tweak your diet for a little bit to be liver friendly, which means just lean proteins, vegetables, and stick with really low grain, low amounts of grain, like just a fistful of rice, and that's about it. Try and avoid the gluten and dairy as much as possible, and soy. And that can give you kind of a head start to help your liver get caught back up.
Thank you so much for that, Norma. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. We've got Lois calling in from Lake Nabegamom. I did it, I think. Did I do it?
Yep, you did.
That's another one I get wrong, Troy.
That's impressive.
Thank you very much. How are you today, Lois?
I'm doing good. The question I have is, a little over almost 3 years ago now, I had an injury to my back. Ended up with a infection in my disc, lost the disc, and part of two of the vertebrae. They ended up fusing together. But I know that part of that has affected my sleeping, because I can't sleep on my back and I can't sleep on either side the whole night through. So I'm tossing and turning. And there are, I mean, it's not every day, but a majority of the time I'll wake up not fully rested. And I'm wondering if there's anything that you might suggest that could help.
Well, the biggest thing is when we talk about sleep disorders, that's one other area for sleep disorders. Now, when someone has an injury to their back like that, if it's the pain of the back that's causing it, then that's what has to be addressed. And so with that, some people have to sleep with lumbar support belts to help with the muscles. It really should be assessed as far as, is this the muscles pulling on the back? Is there still a pelvic rotation or part of the original injury that needs to be corrected? A lot of times, if the muscles are pulling, if it comes and goes, that means that's usually the muscles pulling on the back, and then that spikes some of the pain. So if you can identify which muscles they are, and the most common one by far, more than any other muscle, is the psoas muscle. It's the only muscle that goes from your hip to your low back. And I'll spell it out for you because it's kind of tricky. It's a silent P, S, O-A-S, and if you can look up stretches for that muscle, a lot of times that will help alleviate the actual problem. But if you can find someone to give you more specifics who checks the muscles, that can also get it comfortable most of the nights. And then sometimes if it's a low back problem, that can actually cause a problem upper back and neck as well, that can lead to the other sleep disorders. So if you're waking up and it's not pain, then that's usually a compensatory thing. But if it's the pain waking you up, you have to find a way of stabilizing it, which is a belt, stretch the muscles that tend to spasm, or find a position that works for you, which unfortunately tends to be upright more. about 40 degrees.
Thank you so much, Lois, for that call. We've got Julie checking in from Minnetonka. And just to let you know, Julie and Troy, we've got about 3.5 minutes to a hard break at the bottom of the hour. So, Julie, you go ahead and ask your question. If Troy can start the answer, maybe pick it up on the other side. What you got for Dr. Troy today?
Okay, I wanted to ask Dr. Troy, I'm in my early 50s. I have an ideal diet, but I have this recent huge big bald spot on the back of my head, and I'm just wondering if he is aware of anything that might cause that. I've started taking St. John's wort recently, but that's the only thing I can think of, if there's a link between St. John's wort and bald spot.
So the bald spot just started appearing on the back of your head?
Yeah, just 2 weeks ago, my husband happened to notice it. He's like, oh, my gosh, you have a big bald spot on the back of your head. And I lost a lot of hair in the shower, and he was like, it was just suddenly there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that if it happened pretty rapidly, there's a couple different causes for that. So, number one, at that age, the first thing we look at is thyroid and thyroid dysfunction, because you can start to get some hair changes. Estrogen metabolism changes can spike thyroid disorders, especially you're at the right age for that. So that's the first thing we check. And then there's also two other things that really can cause that too. One is an actual autoimmune, where you start to lose the hair if it continues like that. Alopecia is something where with the hair loss, if it continues not for the rest of the head as well. And then the little infections in the skin that can come on almost at any time. You can even, I've had patients who have gotten them from being in on the road in hotels and stuff like that. And that can trigger the immune system to start attacking the hair. And then, of course, just getting your hormones balanced. It'll be one of those things. The thyroid and estrogen imbalance is the most common cause, though. So getting the thyroid labs, not just the TSH. Many doctors will only check TSH. They need to do a full thyroid panel, 8 different thyroid markers. And it's helpful to get the estrogen to see where you're at as far as estrogen dominance is concerned.
How can she make sure she's getting those panels? Is there a specific doctor, kind of doctor she could see to get that done?
Most medical doctors will run that. A functional medicine doctor or chiropractor will run those. And you just have to ask for the full thyroid panel, including thyroid antibodies. And if they won't run it, call my clinic and they will just send the order for you to get the lab test done, because it's a simple thing to do. It's usually because they're in network and have to listen to their insurance companies.
Okay. And as I said, we're going to post Dr. Troy's clinic on our show page today. So if you want to check him out and give him a call, make an appointment, that would be great. Terry, I see you from Duluth. We've got to take a short break. I really hope you can hang on till after the break, and we'll get your question. And I have a sense of your question, but I'd love for you to be able to ask Dr. Troy on your own. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. When we come back, we'll answer Terry's question from Duluth. And we've got Dan's question. Says, can you touch on how TVs, iPads, cell phones, Facebook right before bed can affect your sleep? That's a great question. Dr. Troy's smiling ear to ear, so obviously he has an answer for you. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Dr. Troy, health and healing. We want to give you as much information as we can. Call us with your questions. Back in a moment. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So honored and blessed to have Dr. Troy Spurrell in studio with us. We get him on once a month for health and healing with Dr. Troy. And so far, every time he's been in, we've not been able to get to all your questions. But we do this on purpose. We bring him in because, you know what? I've been sick. I've struggled with chronic health issues my whole adult life. I'm a health-minded person, but I just know that slight corrections, sometimes major corrections, can make all the difference. And you can even have an issue and still be very fruitful and have joy and have some energy by just changing some of the ways that you care for your health. And we so often, I think, in Christianity, don't steward our health. It's like we major in other things as if somehow it's noble to neglect our health. This is why we have Dr. Troy here. We welcome your questions. 877-933-2484. We've got Terry checking in from Duluth. Terry, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, sure. Good afternoon. I'm actually driving down to the cities from Duluth right now to go to a mental health recovery conference tomorrow.
What?
In any event, I've been struggling with mental health issues all my life, and the most recent diagnosis appears to be attention deficit disorder, and I'm trying very, very hard to treat that naturally as much as possible, and I'm finally starting to find some people that will do that up here naturally, but I'm wondering what suggestions you might have.
Yeah, so we're seeing quite a bit more of that. The diagnosis is popping up quite a bit. And the way I want you to think about it with the attention deficit is we have this area of our brain. It's like a filter, and it collects all of our information. And some people are able to collect information and then have it kind of funnel into a thought and a perception, and then it goes out. And then other people can't actually funnel that, and so they have multiple things going on. So you'll be trying to focus, and then it'll go off into another thought. So what sets this up, this scenario that we're seeing a lot more of, is we need that area of the brain exercised. Sugar and blood sugar regulation plays a huge role. So the more we actually consume sugar and have our sugar be unbalanced, the more it can affect that ability to focus. And we've all felt this. If we go too long without eating and we have low blood sugar, harder to focus. We've seen what happens to kids as they're bouncing off the wall. If they get too much sugar, harder to focus. So it's all about staying in that nice, nice range. So that's first and foremost. The only thing more important than sugar is oxygen. We need the oxygen. So we have to, again, make sure that you're breathing right. And then sleep disorders, again, like we're talking about, lead to it. If you sleep deprive anyone, it's going to be harder to focus. So once those basics are good, your sleep is for sure good, your breathing and oxygen levels are good, and your blood sugar is good, then it really boils down to how well are you exercising that area of the brain, and is there anything else that's affecting it? That area of the brain has what's called a weak blood-brain barrier, which means chemicals can easily be absorbed through it. So a lot of kids who consume food dyes, for example, are affected by the food dyes because of that weak blood-brain barrier. So it's something where you want to try and eat as clean as possible. I'm going to give you the name of a book. It's called Disconnected Kids. And in that book is a great list of self-assessment and tools to help you identify what type of ADD it is and physical exercises to help improve on that. Also, there is a medical doctor out of California, been around for a lot of years, and he wrote a great book too. His name is Dr. Amen, which is
perfect.
Yes. he says it Amen, but
okay, well.
But I call him Dr. Amen because his research is really good, and and he has a great amount of information on ADD in particular and what you can take for it and how to stimulate that area of the brain. It really boils down to, for women, eating really clean, make sure they're breathing, and then getting exercise to that area of the brain, and that can help quite a bit. Now, a lot of the serotonin, a brain chemical that you need for that to occur, comes in your digestive tract. 60% of it is made in your digestive system. So if you're sleeping, you have to also make sure you don't have inflammation, infection, or other things in your digestive system. And the most common problem with that with women is candida or yeast. So if there's a history of any types of infections like that, it can be real hidden. A lot of times you don't even know you have it. And so it's important to get rid of the intestinal inflammation to help bring up your serotonin. So that'll help you focus and concentrate. And don't get caught in the trap of caffeine to help focus and then sugar to relax you at nighttime, because that will only work temporarily and then you get way off track.
Well, that was going to be my next question. So interesting how often, though, we over-medicate, because let's say, you know, there's an issue of yeast and the sleeplessness and a high sugar diet. And these are all things, making my point for me, really, adjustments that could be made where your body then starts to serve itself the way it should, right?
100%, yes.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. Okay, we've got Patty checking in from Minnetonka, Minnesota. Hey, Patty and Brian and Tom and Terry. Oh, Tom and Brian, we see you in Europe next. But Patty, you're on the air. How are you doing today?
Great, thank you. I love your show. So my husband had nasal polyps a few years ago, and I believe he was given steroid drops to reduce them and get rid of them, and they actually worked, but they've come back. And he's been told that he could have them operated on and taken out, but they would reoccur. So I just want to get your input on what you know and what you would recommend.
Yeah, if they keep coming back, it means the source of inflammation has not been addressed. So it's all about finding the source. And remember, it is chemical, mental, or physical sources for inflammation as well. So physical sources can be anything from TMJ to cranial dysfunction. Even if he, back in the day, had concussions and stuff, it's very important to actually get the cranials worked on and assessed. Other hidden forms are things like food allergies, food sensitivities. He may get bloated from certain foods. If your mucous membrane of your intestines reacts to foods, so will the mucous membrane of your nasal passages. So it's one of those things to really look at the what he's reacting to for food-wise. And one of the craziest scenarios is if he's had root canals or anything like that, a lot of times hidden dental infections or hidden dental problems can be enough to keep and perpetuate that that problem. So it's really about exploring and investigating which of those scenarios might be contributing to the source of inflammation. Having said that, inflammation can be caused by a lot of other things as well. So it can be an omega-3 deficiency, which is very common with a lot of men. One of the key signs you might be able to see is, does he have a lot of earwax and you have to be pulling earwax out all the time? That's a sign for the cranial dysfunction along with the omega-3 deficiency, potentially.
Man, that's amazing. Brian's checking in from Brooklyn Park. Hey, Brian, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I'm in my early 60s. I've been diagnosed with Crohn's disease the last probably 7 years. And about the last 3 years, they figured out it was C. diff. And I've been on antibiotics for that. They've tried a couple fecal transplants that haven't worked. So right now I'm on long-term antibiotics, vancomycin. I just wondered the effects of being on antibiotics for a long period of time and if there's other treatments that you know of for C. diff.
Yes, definitely. So, yeah, C. diff can definitely – now, did they say that the C. diff was the root cause, or did they also say you had C. diff and that's what caused the Crohn's? Have they kept the Crohn's diagnosis?
They've kept the Crohn's size because I'm still inflamed, but I think my guess is that if they would have identified it sooner, that it's that the C. diff would have, was a cause, but I guess I can't prove that, but that's what I feel it is, yeah.
Yeah, so unfortunately it's quite a long haul, but there's a lot you can do. If you have the Crohn's, that means you have an autoimmunity as well as the bacterial imbalance. And we're going to throw it under the label of dysbiosis, which means bad bacterial imbalance. If you have C. diff, not only do you have an infection, they're trying to kill it off with the antibiotics, but your own immune system is confused and attacking your own lining of your digestive, of your small intestine there, or of your intestines. And so you have to build up the good bacteria. So I have worked with a person who works in a hospital, and the doctors talked to this person about what could they do because their antibiotics weren't knocking out the C. diff in the hospital. And so they just started giving fermented food to the patient base, and the combination of the antibiotics with the fermented food, it was kefir in this case, was enough to actually knock out the C. diff. And then once that gets knocked out, then you can start to repair and rebuild the immune system. So that's where you have to add the vitamin D has to be high. So even at this point, your vitamin D, you want to make sure it's as close to 80 in your blood work as possible. And I would start with fermented foods. You have to change the environment of where that C. diff is. So it's very important to really get all the good bacteria. Fermented food will do that, but you have to be able to tolerate it because of the Crohn's. So there's an art here. So you have to really pay attention to your body. You're going to do well with a little bit of fermented food, and the same amount the next day may not work for you. So don't dismiss it completely. You have to play with it. But start with fermented food and go from there.
Wow, thank you. Tom, checking in from Fargo, has got a question for you. Tom, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm sorry.
It's
hi,
okay.
Susie. Yeah, I know you're probably coming up to a quick break. I had an injury. I was on a mission trip when I was 16 when I was down in Brazil. My head got caught between two ridge poles. The ridge poles are used for fastening one's hammocks. Anyway, a kid sat on one. The two ridge poles came together on my head. They asked if I wanted to go home. I said no, I was 5,000 miles from home. But I had a lot of headaches and afterwards, and I don't think my ears bled. I'm not sure, but now I'm 53. I've been going to a chiropractor since 86. Finally, over here, I found a very good massage, but I'm just wondering, will an MRI, as I get older, could this injury trigger other things in my life, do you think?
Well, the answer is actually yes. There's actually severe trauma can trigger some genetic responses. There is a it's the DYT1 gene on the 13th chromosome that can become activated, and it activates an area of the brain called the basal ganglia, and it can start to cause some disruptions. But having said that, a lot of times if you find someone to work with, there are a couple of really good chiropractic neurologists. It was Fargo that you were from? There's a couple good chiropractic neurologists. If they look at it, and they can look at how the nerves are firing, and then do some of the cranial work at the same time, it should still be something. Headaches or head pressure should be very much addressable even at this stage. And so the scenario, though, is you just have to really pay attention to a lot of what else is going on, because when you have the injury, there are consequences elsewhere in the body, and then those consequences will feed back to keep you in that state. It's a survival mechanism, if you will, a reflexive mechanism, but it basically you have to address what else is happening in the body, otherwise it'll just keep coming back.
Mm. Well, thank you for that, Tom. We're going to pause here for our last break. When we come back, I promise, Dan, when we get to the question about TVs, iPads, cell phones, Facebook before bed, does that affect our sleep? But I also want to use the remaining time, so we're not going to take any more calls. A little bit of time left to talk about the emotional causes that have spiritual roots that cause or that connect to some of the physical ailments that we deal with. More interesting conversation with Dr. Troy. Don't go away. More when we come back. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our friend Dr. Troy. Every month we get him on for health and healing with Dr. Troy. And once again, we've got more questions than we have time, but that's a blessing. So glad that we can serve you this way. And Dan wrote in a little earlier today and said, can you touch on how TV, iPads, cell phones, Facebooks right before bed can affect your sleep?
Yeah, we know that they affect us quite a bit, actually. And so the reality is our brain operates off of all of our senses. So the stuff that we hear, that we see, that we touch, taste, smell, and then what we experience with our physical movement, that's what keeps our brain alive. And so we need that stimulus to keep us alive. So if we don't get stimulus, for example, we unfortunately know that there are kids that have been abused, locked in closets and stuff, babies even, and they get failure to thrive even if they're given food. Because they need that human contact. They need all the physical, mental, and chemical. And so we need enough to stimulate. But we also know that if we become overstimulated, there's a threshold there. And so, again, there's a nice, healthy range we have to stay in. And screen time is something that can overstimulate our visual experiences. And we see it multiple different scenarios. So number one is the actual stimulus of the visual experiences. And they've had mass seizures in Japan because of some of the cartoons, because of just the flashing and the lights and everything, and it induced mass seizures of multiple children all over Japan. And so we've seen things like that. But we actually see that the screen itself and the light emission is causing damage. And so there are doctors, Dr. friend of mine actually has created a screen that you put over top to help protect from the UV and the other exposures. So there's an actual physical component to it, and then there's the stimulatory component to it. The bottom line is we know too much screen time equals a decline in brain equals a decline in sleep. So that's the grand summary. Mm-hmm. Just not good.
Boy, so it's time to just shut the screens down and have some face-to-face time and transition to that night routine, right?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, I marvel, and this is probably for another whole show, but how few people have a steady bedtime routine, and they wonder why they don't feel good. And then we medicate to treat the symptoms, and yep. then we're completely messed up.
Yeah.
Aren't you proud of me right now?
So very proud. It's awesome.
I have to set myself up for compliments. I love how that works. Anyway, let's spend the rest of the time talking about some of these emotional causes that have spiritual roots and even physical roots. And I don't even know where to start with asking you these questions. But when you're looking at common ailments, you say that there's, you know, I think you talked about arthritis, having resentment connected. Unpack just that dynamic and how often what we are telling ourselves and the story we're connecting to ourselves really does impact our cells and our overall health.
Yeah, so our thoughts and our physical being very much, it's all interconnected. And so when we're, one of my favorite studies is, or some of the research done by Dr. Bruce Lipton, he talked about people who are in a state of love, their cells were wide open. And the receptors were there to receive all of the nutrients that you were ingesting. But people live in a state of fear. Their cells were closed off like a frightened child. They're literally folded over. And the receptors were not as available to bring in all the nutrients. So you could be eating perfectly well, exercising perfectly well, but living in a state of fear and not getting all the nutrients. Mm. And so that our emotions are a big part of that. And then there is a percentage of patients that come in, and this is my experience, where it's very obvious that it's not just chemical, mental, and physical, and you can see that once we deal with something more from a spiritual component, where we do the physical work, but then also they pray about and work on forgiveness for resentment, where we've had arthritis just go away and the pains go away, and it's the weight of the world when we give it to God, it can go away. So sometimes it happens through prayer and prayer alone, and sometimes you have to address the other emotional and physical part as well. The real scary thing is it's not just what you went through. Sometimes it's what your parents went through, and sometimes your grandparents went through. And so we actually see and are measuring now that people who are exposed to certain chemicals in their life, they will have changes in the genetic expression of their grandchildren because
wow.
of those chemicals. And it's true spiritually, too. And,
yeah.
we see this.
Wow.
And so it's even our third and fourth generations that we know are affected spiritually because of sins of the father. And so I discovered this through science first and then read it in the Bible years later. And I thought, holy smokes, that's crazy. It's just we see it come together, and it's not always clean. It's not just because someone has arthritis does not mean they have issues with resentment. There could be other complicating factors chemically or physically that are involved with it.
But it's just something you want to look at.
Yeah, don't dismiss it,
yeah.
And it's just not really addressed at all. So it's very important.
Any other sicknesses that you can think of that have directly connected emotional connections?
Yeah, generally speaking, anything with anger will affect the liver too. And so we see with the liver that can be anything from headaches, migraines, even hot flashes of even if they're menopausal induced. The menopause is part of that, but the hot flashes can come on because of the liver dysfunction, which can have some emotional component to it. Some of the other ones that I see because of low back pain, the fear of moving forward. Can manifest as low back pain just in life.
Wow.
So sometimes when we just stay in that fear position, that's when we start to see the back pain start to come on. One of my biggest breakdowns I want to address is separation. So when we see separation from God, we see problems. We see separation from yourself, we see problems, and separation from others. Those are the three main categories. And that will set up commonly similar disorders. And so let me read it, for example, because we're seeing like self-hatred, separation from yourself, self-hatred, self-bitterness, condemnation, and guilt generally leads to autoimmune disease, confused immune system, or a weakened immune system susceptible for other infections. So the people who are really hard on themselves are really setting themselves up for an immune challenge. you're basically breaking down your own defenses.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So,
keep going.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big one. And that's the one I see a lot, because especially for people who are perfectionists or they have great intentions. These are all really good people who forgive the rest of the planet, but not themselves.
He's looking right at me right now.
I am not. It's very common.
It's totally... Keep going.
And it's very, very important to recognize that is a big part of it, not just from yourself, but it might be learned behavior, thoughts, and other things that your parents and grandparents went through. Separation from others, unforgiveness and bitterness towards others is very, very important too. And that's where the arthritis and pain syndromes can come in. Fibromyalgia might be a part of that one as well. So generally we see that degeneration. So the more bitter we are towards other ones, it literally speeds up our aging, if you will. Separation from God really can lead to a depression. It's that hole. I'm sure you've had many speakers come on and talk about that hole that needs to be filled, that only Jesus can fill. When we're separated from God, people feel that hole, and it can start as depression. It can start of just as lethargy and a feeling of lacking, if you will. And really, they just never feel satisfied, and then that leads to a slew of the physical problems, whether it be binge eating, emotional eating, obesity, or something along those lines. We've seen a lot of these things where people are trying to fill that hole with addictions, alcohol, gambling, money, sex, or food. And that's where a lot of that comes from, that lacking. And so that separation is a key one, separation from God, from ourself, and from others. It's important to check in to make sure you're doing okay on those three areas.
Wow, such interesting stuff here, Dr. Troy. We've just got a moment before we pray. What are just a couple of indicators that you need to stop and pay attention? I mean, just that you maybe need a course reset. One is waking up fatigued. Any other just common symptoms that we may just sort of wave away as normal?
Well, I would say, things like headaches, aches and pains. There is no such thing as a normal headache. People come in and say, I just get the normal headache. Like, that's not normal. You shouldn't have headaches. You shouldn't have fatigue. You want to pay attention to all the little things. They're never going to go away. There's always going to be something. Dark circles under your eyes, bloating after a meal. Don't dismiss those things. Waking up tired. There are reasons for it, and you'll never address everything. But the more you can just have awareness, that's the first step to be able to do something to prevent everything else. Because if you pay attention to these levels of dysfunction, dysfunction always precedes disease. So if you can address the dysfunction, you're staving off the disease.
So good. I know you're such a busy man that you would give us time. Means the world to all of us, Dr. Troy. Do you feel comfortable praying? Would you mind praying for that person?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, who's just struggling today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, God, I'd love for you to just... I love for you to just impact and put on that person's heart that they know that they are not alone, they are not suffering by themselves, and that there is an answer to the problem that they have. I hope and pray that you find, first of all, the light, find that hope that you're looking for, and whether that's through God Himself or someone else, I hope that you and pray for you to just know that God loves you and that there is an answer to your prayers and your pain.
Mm. Lord, thank you for this time. Bless Troy for all the time he pours into our listeners. I pray you give it back to him many times over. In Jesus' name, amen. Dr. Troy, thank you so, so much. Name of his company is Synapse Center for Health and Healing. We'll link that up on our show page. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. If you want to get a head start, email me with your questions for Dr. Troy when he comes in next month. We'll do our best to get on those. My email again is susie@myfaithradio.com. Now remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.